Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon.
Good evening. All right, I like this. All right, can I just, if you guys would, just open the two passages in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 6, which is your third book in your Bible. You've got to understand why I'm doing this. I'm so used to teaching the little kids that they tell me they can't find Genesis. And also Romans chapter 12, which is your sixth book in your New Testament. Brother Joe, I'm very thankful to have you back here. I really enjoyed your singing, and I'm pretty sure the flower beds missed you. All right. Oh, I better turn to the passage. All right, Leviticus 6:13 is where we're going to draw our title tonight. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. If you flip over to Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 through 2, I'll give you guys just a second to get there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be up here, Lord, and just ask that you use me in spite of who I am, Lord. And Lord, you know the dryness in my mouth, Lord, and you know the reason, Lord, that it's there, Lord. And just ask that as you use Moses, Lord, that you would use me tonight, Lord. Lord, just let no sin be upon me, Lord, that I wouldn't be the sin in the camp tonight, Lord, and that you be the congregation, Lord, if there's any sin in their heart, Lord, that they'd confess it, Lord, that your spirit could go forth. Just ask that you be with the service, Lord, hide me behind your cross, Lord, and just give me the words to speak, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. All right, so if you flip back to Leviticus chapter 6, that'll just be for our first point. So let me give you some intro. Aren't you guys glad I did not make you stand for the intro? All right, so in the Old Testament, we had the fire, and it was always upon the altar. It always had to be going, and it never went out. As we've seen in verse 13, it says it never went out. So it was a command, and it was always supposed to be going. Now we have Christ, and I'm thankful that he's paid the sacrifice, and I don't have to die and go to hell because he's forgiven me of my sins because I repented and put my trust in him. So if we think about at Romans chapter 12, we got Paul, he's writing this, and he's telling to those in Rome about, hey, you guys need to be a living sacrifice. I mean, Paul's writing this from in jail, and no doubt Paul understood what it meant to sacrifice. He knew that what it took, he was once a persecutor of the church, now to serving the church. Paul understood that Christ had to be the burning passion within us, and that's what the fire is. It's that burning passion, it's the fire, the sacrifice. If anyone would understand what it meant to be a living sacrifice and to have the burning passion of Christ inside them, to make the sacrifice go and to drive them and through trials of this life, from anything, it would be Paul. He understood that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior and that he was his sacrifice and that he could never stop. So let's see what the Lord wants us to learn here tonight. So number one, it's I'm going to give you five C's tonight. It's a constant sacrifice through fire. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. So what's the sacrifice? All right, if you look at Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 8, and it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And drop down to verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and it shall be burning therein the fat of the peace offering, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. So Paul was talking to those in Rome saying, hey, you need to be a living sacrifice. It's got to be a constant sacrifice. What we see in Leviticus, that you know, God's given them the commandment for the sacrifice, then, well, there had to be fire for the sacrifice. And the priests, they were just never allowed to put it out. It always had to be burning. I mean, they probably took shifts to make sure there was wood under it. They said they put wood under it every morning to make sure it was going. It had to be hot enough for the sacrifice. So day and night, they weren't allowed to stop. So what more should the altars of our life be? Since we're called to be a living sacrifice, we need to have that fire within us, a passion. You know, and you know, it's hard to do things consistently sometimes. Sometimes we get into habits, and sometimes you just want to quit. And this made me think of Jeremiah 29. It says this: "Then I said, I will make not mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his words were in my heart as a burning fire, and shut up my bones, and I was weary for forbearing, and I could not stay." So sometimes we want to quit. We want to be like Jeremiah, but, you know, Jeremiah got this. He knew that he had to be a living sacrifice, and, you know, he wanted to quit. And I can relate to Jeremiah. I'll be honest, last week, I just wanted to quit. I got done with the buses, and I just put my seat back, and if it wasn't for Pastor Smiling, I probably would have just stayed in there for the afternoon service. But I'm really glad it was that I realized, hey, that God's called me to be a living sacrifice, and I need to remember what drives me. I'm not doing this for the kids. I'm not doing this for anything. I have to remember that the burning passion within inside me is Christ. And that's what he's calling us to do. If you turn back over to Romans chapter 12. And also, I was thinking this morning, we were talking in junior church. We were talking about Abel and Cain and their offering, their sacrifice they brought. It made me think of this. So many Christians try to bring a Cain-style sacrifice where we just want to do the bare minimum. We want to just, you know, this looks good. It doesn't cost me a whole lot. So I'm going to bring this. But we don't bring what the Lord requires like Abel did. And Abel's was accepted because he brought what the Lord wanted. So let's notice the conditions of our sacrifice. Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." So first off, all right, we got a body. Check. All right. We got to have a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. So we got the conditions. We know that's got to be living, holy, and acceptable. What does it mean to be living? Well, I'm obviously not dead. I got some breath in my body. So that's check one. Webster's Dictionary, 1828, says this: "Having life or vital functions in operation, not dead, and breath within." So if you have Christ as your Savior, you're no longer dead spiritually. You're alive more than you ever could be. Genesis 2:7 says this: "And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breath into his nostrils, and the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So the moment you're born, you had breath in you, you're alive, so you're alive. The second thing he talks about for the condition, being holy. It says, "Set apart to the service or worship of God, hallowed, sacred, reserved from profane or common use, a holy vessel, or without spot, blame, or sinless. I was going through some books that some preacher gave me the other day, and I just happened to open the middle of the book, and it was talking about the holiness of God and about being holy, and it showed all the passages, and it even said that being holy was talked about more in the Bible than any of the other attributes of God. And I was just thinking, man, you know, the angels, they fly by, and they have their wings covered, and they sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And God's wanting us to take part in being holy for him. 1 Peter 1:16 says this: "As it is written, be holy, for I am holy." So we must choose to set ourselves apart for Christ, make that choice to be cleansed by his blood and be a holy vessel, something that's moldable and usable for his service, something that he wants to use. 2 Timothy 2:21, if you want to turn there, if not, it's all right. It says this: If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Verse 22 says this: "Flee also every youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So one thing to be holy, we have a pure heart. It's got to start in the heart. It's not an outward appearance. It's not a suit and tie. It's not a dress or a skirt. Now, I really believe that we should give the Lord our best, and that's what he does want. He wants the best. That's why he's calling us to be a holy, acceptable, living sacrifice for him. But it's got to start in the heart. It's got to take place. And so many times, the thing we like to hide in our heart the most and the deepest part of us is sin. We try to hold on to that sin, and that's not what God wants. He wants us to forsake that sin, let it go, repent, turn the other way, so he can use us, so that we can be acceptable and holy and righteous in his sight. That verse also said, to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Those are the fruits, some fruits of the Spirit. You know, if you got Christ in you, you're going to bear those fruits. That people will see those fruits, and that's what you should follow after. Not holding on to the sin, but hold on to the righteousness, the faith, the charity, the peace. And that will make you holy in his sight. James 1:21 says this, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Hey, if you want to be holy, you got to hold on to God's word. You got to meditate. You got to memorize it. The more you meditate and you memorize God's word, the more he's just going to speak to you. The more he's just going to be into your life. And when you even go forth to sin and you even think about it, those verses are just going to pop to your mind. They're going to say, no, I better not do this. This isn't what the Lord wants. It'll cause you to turn the other way. Psalms 51:10 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I think so many of us, even myself when I was studying for this, I had to think about this. Is there anything I'm holding in my heart that God doesn't want? And, you know, I was thinking when David wrote this, man, he really wanted just a clean heart. He wanted to walk with God. And I think we need to do the same thing. And so many times that we get caught up in the moment of things and we don't think about things. And so many times that we don't even realize we're holding on to sin. I remember last year I had the car accident and I was just thinking, you know, why'd the Lord allow this to happen? I believe he was sovereign and he was in it. And it made me realize things that there was sin I was holding on to my life and I had to let it go. And I think that's, many of us have the same problem. I just hope that the Lord doesn't have to use a car accident to speak to you like he did me. So just take a moment. Just I want you just to think, is there anything in your heart? Is the Lord tugging at you? I mean, don't hinder the Holy Spirit. Just think, is there something that's holding me back from being holy and righteous with the Lord? The third thing it talks about, being acceptable unto God, simply is it matching up and right in his sight. You know, when they bring a sacrifice, in the Old Testament, when they would bring a sacrifice to the Lord, that it had to be without spot, had to be blameless. I mean, you couldn't bring a blind sheep or anything. It was really serious about what they had to do to bring their sacrifice. And it's no different for us. God's called us to bring ourselves. He's calling us to present ourselves to him. He's the high priest it talks about in Hebrews. Now we got to stand before the Lord and present ourselves and see if we're be holy and blameless in his sight. So I got A through G on this. So if you want to write them down. Is your life matching up to his word? You know, Peter talks about, I think in Acts, that, you know, it's better that we obey God rather than men. So is there things in this book that you know you're supposed to do and you're not doing them? You know, we think of kids so many oftentimes with this that, you know, are you obeying your parents? And we should, because Ephesians tells us it's right and acceptable unto the Lord. But are you witnessing? You know, the Bible talks about that. Are you studying to show thyself approved? And this is all things God says to do. He says, you know, meditate and memorize my word. He says that in several passages. Are we matching up to his word? Matthew 17:6 and verse 8 says this, "And you shall know them by their fruit." So are you bearing fruit? You know, are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? You know, are you following after peace, love, charity, righteousness? Are you holding up to God's standard of bringing fruit? And, you know, people will see you by your fruit. They'll see that, hey, you know, this guy's right with the Lord. He's bearing God's fruit. Are you fitting into God's mold? Are you searching for God's will in your life? Are you, as in Proverbs 3:5, trusting in him, knowing that he's got a plan for you? You know, he had a plan for Jeremiah. It talks about in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. You know, he said, I formed you in your mother's belly, and I have a plan. I set you apart. And God has the same thing for us. We become a living sacrifice. He'll open doors. You know, and he'll take you places that you never would imagine. I mean, I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life. He's opened quite a few doors lately. I have the opportunity to go preach in Honduras and Peru. I don't know what he wants to do with a boy from Detroit and sending him in a Spanish-speaking country. I wasn't born speaking Spanish. I was born speaking English, but I'm thankful that the Lord wants to use me there. D, are you witnessing? Have we forgot the Great Commission? Let's take a second just to look at it. Matthew 28. If you want to be acceptable unto God, we got to remember that the Great Commission is one of the things given to the church, one of the things that we got to see fulfilled. Matthew 28, verse 19 says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Now, June 19th, we're going to start our soul winning program. Yes, it's a form of, and chances that we get to witness as a church body, as a group. But God wants so much more from you. He wants you to be out on your own. God has placed you where you are in your neighborhood. You may think, you found a good deal, but the Lord opened that door. The Lord put you at the job you're at. It's not by accident. It's not by coincidence. He's placed you where you're at for a reason, in the school, the friends you have, and all that, because he wants to use you to be a witness for him. Are you seeing his Great Commission filled out? Number E says this, are you the same on Sunday as you are the rest of the week? So the way you come into the church house, is that the way you're going to work? Is that the way you're going to school? Is that the way you're driving? That's a hard one, driving. Because if you've ever driven through Ohio, there's two forms of drivers. There's Michigan drivers, where we invented cars and we know how to drive. And then there's Ohio drivers, and then there's Georgia drivers in Ohio. They can't drive. But you know what? You got to be the same. You can't be, I guess like cussing them out or flicking them off or anything like that. You have to, as Brother Michael was talking about, he realized that, hey, what Christ did for me, we can't just, ask God to take that person off the earth. We got to be patient. We got to show the love of Christ. Are you being a Christian at home? Johnny Hunt says this, if you're not a Christian at home, you can't be a Christian at all. So how are you conducting yourself at home? Parents, are you setting the bar for your kids and how you want them to be? You're the standard for them. They're going to see Christ living in you. If they're not seeing it, that's part of the reason why kids leave after age 18, because they see mom and dad not acting that way. Kids, are you acting the way that Christ would want you, the way you're here on Sunday? Well, for some of them, I'm kind of scared because I deal with them in junior church. That's okay. But are they seeing Christ? Kids, are your parents seeing Christ in you? Are they seeing you bear fruits? Number G, is the fire burning strong within you? What's your passion? God says that his word should be your passion. We know that Christ is God's word and that the fire should never go out. Is Christ that burning passion within you? What's driving you? What's causing you to do the things that you do? Works without faith or faith without works is dead. So, what's driving you to do things? Is it the love of Christ, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13? Is it, Christ really wants me to do this. Am I doing this because he wants it, or am I doing it for my own selfish pleasure? All right, number three, the third C. It's a fire that of changing. It won't conform you to this world. Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll notice some things that the fire does to you. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works what sort it is. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet also by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, then that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? All right, so when we go through the fires, you know, it's the trials of life. It's the things when, you know, life just gets really hard and you just want to throw in the towel. You know, you'll really see who you are. You know, the fires as we're going through the gold, you know. First Peter talks about this, and we'll get to that in just a second, that we get to really see who we are at our weakest moment. You know, people don't want to see the God of your mountaintop. You know, everyone wants that. But everyone wants to see the God of your valley. You know, everyone wants to see the real you. You know, they don't want to see you up on the mountaintop. They want to know, man, I struggle all the time. You know, people, that's what people say. You know, I want to see what your God can do in the valley. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. First Peter 1, 7 says this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perish through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So God allows us to go through these things for us to be the sacrifice that we can be changed, that we can have a true faith, a faith that is stronger than ever. He wants us to build our faith that we trust Him more. That's why He says get in His Word, and man, you'll really start to see God, and you'll start to have more faith, and you'll start to take more steps for Him. And when you have that, when you have more faith, He'll be able to open more doors for you. So it won't conform you to this world, but we'll get to see who you really are. It'll renew your mind. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 4:8, if you want to turn there. It'll give you things to think about. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When you go through trials and stuff, and you know, He doesn't want you to think on the gloom and all that. He wants you to think on, man, how's God working in this? Is it, you know, I can see that God's true. I can see that He's honest to His word, that He keeps it, that He's a just God, and that, you know, His word is pure, and that He's given me a pure faith. And I can see that the Lord's lovely through it because He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I'll be able one day to give a good report because I followed Christ. And I kept up to His word. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So it's 10:5. All right. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It'll really change the way you think. It'll make you think like, I don't think this is what God is thinking about. God's telling me that I should think on Him. I should think about Philippians 4:8. Titus 3:5 says this. If you want, just turn there real quick. I want you guys to just really see that verse. Not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And we know that our minds can be transformed and renewed in Christ because of He's given us the Holy Spirit. That He can change the way we think because we have Christ dwelling in us. We talked about in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says that, the Spirit, don't you know that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, that you're the temple of God? So once you have Christ in you, He'll change the way you think. You know, the one things that you used to go towards, you know, the sin and all that, He'll make you turn and follow Christ and go the other way. We know that the fire will it'll make you acceptable unto Him. Romans 12:2 says, and being renewed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We know that Acts 1:8 says this. Do you want to be acceptable unto God? It says, but you shall receive power that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I know I've said about being a witness twice, but God's really strong on us being a witness. He says, hey, this verse is saying, hey, all right, you're saved, you have my spirit, you're going to witness. There's no need to hold back. You know, I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've told you just a witness. I mean, and really we have it simple nowadays. You know, we got tracks. You can leave them everywhere. You can leave them in a gas pump. You know, you can just talk to your waitresses when you go out. You can talk to the people at school, I mean, or work, or anywhere you're going. I mean, simple things. You can just change it from the natural to the spiritual, and you can just talk about Christ. Romans 14, verse 7 says this. Oh, wait. Wrong way. All right, there we go. 14, verse 7 says this. For none of us live unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. And verse 8, for whether we live or whether we die, or for whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. So no matter what, when you have Christ and you're being a living sacrifice, that, you know, in your life that you'd be living for God, and even when you're dying, that your last breaths can be honoring unto the Lord, that you're no longer your own, you're Christ. I think also that when we go through the fire and we realize that Christ is the burning passion that we can't stop and we can't quit, and we're just this living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto him. One thing that we'll be able to say at the end of our lives, turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll look at verse 20. When we go through this and we see Christ, I think he'll be able to make us hear these precious words that I so badly want to hear. In verse 20 it says this, and so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In verse 22, he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside these. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, if you do what's acceptable unto the Lord, at the end of it, he'll tell you, well done. He'll give you rewards. He'll bless your life. He'll make you a good and faithful steward. We know in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, moreover, brethren, it's required that a steward be found faithful. So if we're just faithful to this task of being a living sacrifice, giving God our best, being holy and righteous before him and acceptable, we'll be able to hear, well done. So we got that it was a consistent sacrifice. We got the conditions for sacrifice. We got the changing. How about we consider this? Let's consider the ultimate sacrifice. If you will, just turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Our ultimate sacrifice is Christ and how he died for us, that he came down to earth and he died for sinful man. And this passage will speak for itself. But that's the ultimate sacrifice, you know, the one that freed me from my sin, the bondages of sin that I was in. We'll look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the grief. And we hid as if our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, and stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We are all as sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so opened not his mouth. And if you drop down to verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We see Christ, he gave his life. You know, he went willingly. He was willingly a living sacrifice to be an offering for our sins. And I'm thankful for that. That was a price I could never pay. You know, he did it willingly. He didn't even open his mouth as they beat him. And they beat him because of my sins, your sins. So what more should we be? I mean, we want to complain that, you know, it's going to cost. That just requires too much time. But yet Christ made time for us. He stepped into time and lived 33 and a half years for me, sinless, and for you as well, to be a living sacrifice for us. And yet, we don't want to take the time to be a living sacrifice. Let's consider what the Lord gave up. He gave up heaven for us. He gave up a place with his Father, a perfect place, a sinless place. So he gave up heaven for us. He gave his body to be broken. He gave his spirit to be commended back to God. I mean, he had perfect fellowship with his Father all of eternity. You know, he steps into time and he gives his life for sinful man. And for a moment, his Father turns his back on him and pours out his wrath. He gave his heart to be slit. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He paid what I could not pay. He bought what I didn't have the ability to buy or give away. He paid my ransom. When I see the sacrifice of Christ, and you know, I just say, amen, what a sacrifice. And it really puts into perspective that God gave up a lot for me. That John 3:16, it means a lot because God loved me, that he gave his life for me. And I'm so thankful for that. So what a sacrifice. Christ gave it all. So what are you going to give back to him? We'll look at Romans 12, verse 1 through 2 again. So what are you going to give back to Christ? We see that he was the ultimate sacrifice, that he gave it all. And this is just simply what God's asking you to do. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that ye be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Hey, he says it's your reasonable service. So in closing, are you living up to God's word? Are you doing that which is good, acceptable, perfect will of God? I mean, Christ gave a lot more than we'll ever give. He's just asking you to be a picture of his sacrifice by the way we live, we talk, and we act. So tonight, are you willing to be a living sacrifice for Christ? Are you being holy with a clean heart? Are you acceptable unto God? Are you not conformed to this world? Has your mind been renewed? Are you being good and acceptable? Perfect will of God. So as Brian and the panel and organists come, tonight, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you first need to repent of your sins and turn the other way, then believe that he'll save you from your sins, then ask him into your heart. Or if you need to just come to this altar and pray, then come.
If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.